Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears, through thy grace, be so grafted inwardly in our hearts, they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I recall teachers, especially in middle school and high school, giving my classmates special instructions on a big project that was coming up, which would be a major part of our grade. They would give this special advice about the project with the phrase, "Now, students, a word to the wise." They were telling us in particular this project, do this or don't do this. If you want a good grade, follow my advice. Now, I remember a 10th grade biology teacher who also happened to be the head football coach. He kind of taught in the classroom like he did on the football field. He expected you to follow his advice, and we were to diagram a picture of the frog with the labeled parts. And he said, please do not crisscross your lines. What did Cedric do? After my fourth attempt of trying to do it with any crisscrosses, I gave up and I just handed it in, crisscrosses and all. He picked up my paper in front of the whole class and said, Mr. Benner, what is this? A word to the wise, listen to him, don't cross him. Solomon uses similar wording at the beginning of this passage, not Mr. Benner, but a word to the wise. Proverbs 22:17, where he tells us, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. So this morning I want to cover three applications of wisdom in life and conduct from Proverbs 22. So my first point is, listen to God's words of wisdom. Proverbs 22:17-19 says this, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. In these verses, we hear the call to heed the words of the wise. And this is not just common sense or human wisdom. For in verse 19, we are told to place our trust in the Lord. It is evident from the wording of verse 19 that the call in verses 17 and 18 then is to heed God's wisdom, the divine wisdom given to us in God's written revelation. The insights from the book of Proverbs have been appropriated under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Solomon's words, it's the word of a living God. Solomon may have written them down, but he wrote them down under inspiration of God himself. And so we can say that Scripture has a dual authorship. It is the human author, but ultimately it is God himself that inspired him. So God is the ultimate author of Scripture. The present call of God's people is to pay attention to these words of wisdom. It applies not only to this book, but to all of God's Word. Do we read the Bible with concentration? How much is retained and ready for passing on? In order for us to pass on our knowledge of God's Word, it must be within us, in our hearts and in our minds. And then our lips can teach what we have learned. When our hearts truly hear God's wise words, it then becomes strengthened in us and established in our hearts. This inclination of the renewed will and hearts of believers, nourished by the words of Holy Scripture, can be further strengthened to obey God's word and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Proverbs 22:20-21 goes on to say this, have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth that you may correctly answer him who sent you. In these words, it can be read as Solomon saying these things, but ultimately, as I said just a minute ago, it is better to understand God has written these things, the ultimate author of all Scripture, saying to each of us, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge? The Scripture is God's gift to us, his written revelation, showing us what we are to believe about God, his plan of salvation, and his moral commandments of how we should live. And we are to be good stewards of all of God's gifts given to us, but certainly the gift of his holy word. And I think about that as most of us have multiple copies of the Bible. We may have multiple copies of it, but how well do we know it? And further, how well do we live it? He has given us his written words so that he might make known to us the certainty of these words of truth, that we may correctly answer him who was sent. This may be referring to people asking questions about God and Scripture. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us, a reason for why we believe what we believe concerning God, Jesus Christ, and our hope of salvation in him. God has given us the hope of eternal salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. It is the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament which testify about Jesus as the Christ, the divine Son of God and our Savior. Paul reminds us of this truth in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. May we pay attention to God's word, which is infinitely more valuable than silver or gold. It is our treasure. It is our spiritual meat and nourishment. So may we be paying attention to it and nourished by God's wisdom, the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and the wisdom which assists us in living a godly life in Christ Jesus. And so may we heed God's words of wisdom. Point number two, the writer of the Proverbs tells us to not take advantage of the poor. Proverbs 22, verses 16, 22, and 23 says this: he who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and take the life of those who rob them. Solomon urges God's people to not take advantage of the poor because they are poor. Elsewhere in the Old Testament Scriptures, appeals were made for Israel to remember that they were once poor servants and sojourners in the land of Egypt, and were taken advantage of by their Egyptian masters. Exodus 22, 21 through 24 gives these very warnings to Israel about their care of the poor. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. The children of Israel were to reflect on their time in Egypt and how they were mistreated, and to resolve to treat other vulnerable people with dignity and respect. It's interesting also to note that since there was only one generation or a couple generations that were taken advantage of by the Egyptians, their succeeding generations, even though they weren't in Egypt, were to remember how God's people were taken advantage of. And even though they weren't personally taken advantage of by the Egyptians, they were still to remember how their fathers were taken advantage of and to treat the poor with dignity and respect. We are given this warning that if we will not take care of the poor, if we will continue to take advantage of them, it is God Himself who will bring about justice for the poor. The poor being denied justice in the gate is a phrase which the ancient Israelites understood, because it was within the city gates of each city that judicial matters were decided by the elders and judges of each city. And so they are being admonished to apply the law of God, especially in the first five books of the Old Testament. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Proverbs, says that the two lines of Proverbs 22:23 mirror the two lines of Proverbs 22:22. These two lines of 22 and 23 go back and forth with litigation, violence, litigation, and violence. First, in verse 22, do not rob the poor, which is litigation, or crush the afflicted in the gate, which is violence. Where if they do that, then the Lord will plead their cause. God will be their lawyer and judge, which is litigation. He will take the life of those who rob them. Violence meted out by God Himself in judgment. If the people of God won't treat the poor with justice, then God will bring about justice in His time and in His way. So you either treat people with justice, or you will have to face God face to face. Third point I make is that exhibiting wisdom in life and conduct also means we should be careful in choosing friends. Proverbs 22:24 and 25 says this: do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. The person given to anger is quick to lose self-control. The writer of Proverbs is urging us to use discretion in the friends we choose and in the company of people with whom we associate. It is perplexing why a person with a quick temper, as a rule, is not influenced by keeping company with someone who practices self-control. But the warning goes the other way around, that someone should stay clear of a hot-tempered man, lest we imitate his ways. The Apostle Paul gives a similar warning in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 32 to 34, where he says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The Apostle Paul, just like Solomon in Proverbs 22, is warning about a lifestyle which springs from a denial of the resurrection of the dead. Paul is teaching here, as he taught elsewhere, that if a person denies the resurrection, they also deny a day of God's judgment, which provides no motivation whatsoever to live a godly life in this life. If there's no resurrection and there's no judgment, Paul says, why don't you just go out and get drunk tonight, for tomorrow you die. If there's no accountability whatsoever, then that's the logical conclusion. But Paul's point is, Christ has been raised from the dead, and there will be a day when all people will be raised from the dead. The faithful in Christ Jesus will be raised to eternal life, and the wicked will be raised to suffer God's everlasting judgment. Those Christian believers in Corinth with a false view on the resurrection have been influenced and spread their influence, and the Corinthians are being told, even within the church, be careful of the company you keep. In turn, those that doubted the resurrection and were living a loose lifestyle influenced the rest of the congregation. As part of the sober life which God calls his people to live, we are to use godly wisdom with the choice of our friends, for they will influence us for better or for worse. Solomon is being realistic about the social consequences of sin. We are easily led astray by negative influences, and it's also the opposite side, hard to imitate godly influences. So we must be aware and cautious of the pull of the world, the flesh, and the devil, for their pull is hard. It is hard to swim upstream against the moral corruption of this world, in which today that which is good is called evil, and that which is evil is called good, as if we're the ones that are being shamed into doing what they call is right. But the warning of Holy Scripture is that the world calls evil good and good evil. We're called to follow God's way of wisdom and God's holy path with the help of God and with God's faithful people who are trying to pull in that direction. The writer of the Proverbs is urging us to choose friends who will influence us in a godly direction. So let us hear God's word of the wise, that God may grant us wisdom and godly courage to listen to his holy word, to treat the poor with dignity and respect, and to show wisdom in the company that we keep. Let us pray. Shine within our hearts, O Lord God Almighty, the pure light and the knowledge of your holy word and gospel. And open the eyes of our minds and hearts that we may understand your teachings. Instill in us also reverence for your blessed commandments, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. This we earnestly pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.